I'm Janet Roper, and you're listening to the Reawaken Right Relationship Podcast. Welcome to this place where we have conversations about creating, nurturing, and sustaining right relationship with all sentient beings. I'm excited to be on Patreon now, and I think it's going to be an adventure for all of us. The tiers range from starting out, which is at $2 a month, to superhero, which is $100 plus a month. So there's something for everyone over on Patreon. Please consider supporting me there if you listen to this podcast, if this podcast has inspired or informed you or expanded the possibilities in your world. I thank you because your contribution makes my work sustainable. Did you hear about the ladybug swarm that appeared over California last week? It was 80 by 80 miles and moving quickly across San Bernardino County. That is huge. In this episode, we're talking about the ladybugs, if they were just doing ladybug things, or if there is a spiritual significance for humans. Let's talk about ladybugs, shall we? Did you hear about the ladybug swarm in California that was big enough to show up on weather radar? This happened just last week on June 6, 2019. At first, meteorologists thought it was a giant rain cloud on the radar. Then they asked spotters on the ground about it and discovered it was actually an enormous swarm or bloom of ladybugs. Now, me personally, I love that a collection of ladybugs is called a bloom. Isn't that just delightful? The bloom was estimated to be about 80 miles by 80 miles and moving quickly across San Bernardino County. I saw online that many people were talking about how fortuitous this was for the people in the area, that it presaged a huge spiritual significance for the people. After all, if you look up ladybug animal totem in the books or if you Google it, you will find that ladybug means joy, luck, change, and transformation, among other things. Is that the case with this bloom? Maybe so, maybe not. I think it's presumptive for us to assume the bloom was expressly for the benefit of humans. Ladybugs do what ladybugs do, which doesn't mean they're doing it for the purpose of serving humankind. According to the National Park Service, California is actually known for its hardy ladybug population, and June tends to be a good time to see them in action. Ladybug eggs hatch in March and April. And once the larvae have matured, they begin their migration to the mountains in late May or early June. So at least at surface value, it appears that this is a ladybug thing, done because a ladybug is in a ladybug bloom. In attempting to build right relationship with the animals, we need to be aware of traps we can unwittingly fall into. While our intent may be to come across from a place of right relationship, the impact of that intent may be harmful, even crippling and demeaning to the animals. This is because of the way we've been socialized to be human-centric. One trap that we can fall into is entitlement. That's when the human perceives themselves as deserving of unearned privileges, which leads to the unfound conclusion that the human has permission to take whatever they want. This way of thinking stems from our history of colonialism. Now, if you're not familiar with colonialism and the tenets of it and the legacy that we have and that we live in, you can Google it. Entitlement naturally leads to expectation. When I feel entitled to something, I expect it will turn out the way I want it to. So when people feel the reason for the ladybug bloom is all about what the ladybugs can do for humans, such as giving humans a significant spiritual boost, that's entitlement. That's robbing the ladybugs of doing ladybug-related activities and making it all about the humans. Another trap we can fall into is appropriation. This is where the elements of a minority culture are adopted by members of the dominant culture. The people of the dominant culture seek to participate in use, claim, and or profit from native practices without showing the understanding or respect of that culture. Again, it's part of colonialism. Unless you grew up and were part of a culture that worked with animals in an indigenous way, the use of a phrase like spirit animal or totem animal is cultural appropriation. Why is this important to realize? Because the impact of using those terms commodifies and erases the realities of the indigenous culture from which those terms originate. So personally, I grew up in a family heavily influenced by Southern Baptist beliefs, and as an adult, I was baptized as a Lutheran. I can tell you for a fact that neither of those cosmologies have a central core that includes animism, spirit animals, or totem animals. Which brings us to appreciation versus appropriation. Cultural appreciation is taking the time to learn about the different cultures and traditions. It is enjoying the knowledge from different cultures while giving credit to the source. Cultural appreciation is valuing without claiming. Let me repeat that. Cultural appreciation is valuing without claiming. So here's the can of worms we're dealing with, because of course there's got to be a can of worms, right, folks? We live in a time when, in order to change the world, we need to learn to be in right relationship with the world around us. Many are called to participate in this change, and many are trying to answer that call as best they know how. Unfortunately, with the majority of us humans not growing up in indigenous cultures, we don't have the lived, daily, ancestral experiences that can point us in the direction of right relationship, nor do we have elders to whom we can look to for guidance. So, in the example I gave above about myself being baptized as a Lutheran, I did not have ancestral experiences that gave me the information that I needed to learn to be an animist. Nor did I have elders in my family or in the church who could give me information about that and who could give me guidance on that. Still, we need to learn how to be in right relationship with the beyond human sentient beings without appropriating from the different indigenous cultures and without feeling entitled to having a relationship with those beings. Again, cultural appreciation is valuing without claiming. So how is this done? How do we learn to be in right relationship with the beyond human sentient beings without entitlement and without appropriating? The other night I was listening to an episode of Oprah's podcast called A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, and her guest was Eckhart Tolle, the author. Now, you don't have to write anything down because I will put the reference link on the episode page here. And this episode that they were talking about is number one in a series of 10, and it's based on Eckhart Tolle's book by the same name. During the episode, they were talking about chapter one of the book. They're starting out at the very beginning. And Oprah made the comment that in order for her to practice being in the present moment, she would go outdoors in nature and pretend she didn't know anything about nature, about the trees, about the grass, about what she was experiencing. She left her preconceived notions behind, which gave her the opportunity to take in nature as if she were experiencing it for the first time. Now, doesn't that put a unique spin on it, right? Instead of presuming you know, with air quotes, nature and the sentient beings, pretend you know nothing about them. Leave your preconceived notions behind and introduce yourself like you are meeting them for the first time. That can be really wowing, and it can leave you open for new experiences. In building right relationship, the big thing is you need to be in personal, direct, consistent relationship with nature and the sentient beings, or representatives from nature and the sentient beings. It's about tending a unique relationship with another, not taking from that relationship for your own benefit or to make you feel good about yourself or your spiritual life. Right relationship, and you've heard me say this a million times, it's about mutuality, cooperation, reciprocity, and exchange. So let's circle back to that bloom of ladybugs, shall we? What if that was just a bloom of ladybugs doing their ladybug thing? What if it had nothing to do with humans? Is that something you can deal with? Is it possible to allow the ladybugs, or any other beyond human sentient beings, for that matter, to have their own agency? I'd love to hear your thoughts about this. This is a deep topic. This is a big topic. This is more than just one episode. So in order to get a conversation going about this, you can call me here on the anchor.fm app and leave a message, or email me at janet@janetroper.com. I look forward to hearing your thoughts about this. Do you love what you're hearing on this podcast? I sure hope so. And if you are loving it, I ask that you show support by liking it and leaving a comment or review on whatever platform you are listening to this on. You can also show your support by sharing it with your friends and family. And I so appreciate your help. Thank you. I think you'll enjoy the podcast, Everyday Animism, that I co-host with two exceptional women, Kelly Harrow of SoulfulIntentArts.com and Brenda Schnabel of SoulfulFocus.com. In this podcast, we explore all things animism, particularly how animism impacts everyday life. You can find it here at Anchor or on your favorite podcast platform. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, here are some other podcasts that you might enjoy. Everyday Animism, which is a podcast which I co-host with two exceptional women, Kelly Harrow of SoulIntentArts.com and Brenda Schnabel of SoulfulFocus.com. In this podcast, we talk all things animism and particularly how it impacts everyday life. You can find the podcast Everyday Animism here on Anchor or on your favorite podcast platform. Another podcast that you might enjoy is What in the Weird, and that is What in the WYRD, which is hosted by Kelly Harrow. Here, Kelly brings in the runes as she takes animism to a deeper level, and she also explores soul tending and sacred activism. Hey folks, I'm going to invite you to espresso your gratitude for this podcast. If you love listening to this podcast, as I listen to so many podcasts, I'm kind of a podcast nerd. I always think that the podcast is for free because I'm listening to it for free, right? Well, you know what? To consume, yes, podcasts are free, but to create and produce, no, they are not free. Because creating and producing podcasts, it's a labor of love for me, but it's still a labor because there's writing, researching, providing commentary, providing community, contacting guests, interviewing, recording, sound editing, creating the script, creating the social media, promoting. Did I forget anything? Oh yeah, I did. There's also website and internet expenses. And all of this to provide content and a podcast that hopefully inspires or informs you and leads you to expanded possibilities in the world. How about showing your support by contributing the equivalent of one cup of coffee? That contribution would be greatly appreciated and a great way to show your backing of the podcast that I create and the labor that goes into making it. So the best way to do that is you can either go to my website, janetroper.com, and you will see the link there for Espresso Your Gratitude. Or you can just go to the episode page here and you will see the link to be able to make a contribution. Thank you so much. And it is truly your contributions and support that makes my work sustainable. To espresso your gratitude for this podcast, the easiest way to do that is to go over to my Patreon account, which you will find at Janet Roper on Patreon. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have enjoyed hearing this, remember to subscribe to the podcast on Anchor or iTunes. And if you would like to follow more of my work, please visit www.janetroper.com.